Hey everyone, I'm Swati Rawat and welcome to the Visionary Podcast, where I talk to visionary Indian women with inspiring, intriguing and aspirational stories. In episode 43, our visionary is Dhanya Balasubramanyam, founder of Paprika, a destination for shopping conscious and sustainable brands. Paprika was founded by Dhanya when she got curious about Indian brands who make a dent in the universe with authentic traditional craftsmanship while supporting a thriving community of artisans. Paprika's collection was also featured at New York Fashion Week 2021, where it showcased products entirely made from natural materials like clay, recycled metal, upcycled silver, glass, brass, and responsibly sourced leather. Tune in as Dhanya shares her journey with Paprika and how it's impacting the South Asian artisan community.
Talking about my childhood, what do I say? So I grew up in Madras, a lot around South Indian values of living simply, living frugally, and kind of use what you need life. Mm. I'm mentioning that because I feel like it really became a framework for a lot of things I do as an adult today. I moved out of home when I was 17 to go to college in Singapore. I did my engineering and very quickly realized that wasn't my cup of tea. Mm. So I graduated and started my career with Uniqlo, and that's really how the love for retail began. Mm. I was running our biggest flagship store in Singapore at that time when I was in the management trainee program there. And I think that experience really shaped aspirations, right? Because it was an experiment. When I joined Uniqlo, I was saying, you know, let's see what this thing is about. I don't want to go do a regular engineering job. Let me try this out. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much discovered two things that I fell in love with. One was just the joy of merchandising and of retail. Like, there's just something very beautiful in it for me personally that I've connected to throughout the years. And then the second thing is just working with people and really bringing experiences for people, right? Like curating experiences for them. I think those two things have almost shaped my career as well, if I go back and think about it. And so coming out of that experience, I think I just wanted to do something more with retail. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to be in it. I was sure that's what I wanted to do with my life. And 10 years later now, that hasn't changed. So I'm very, very thankful for that experience.
So Dhanya, not to jump the gun and to really connect the dots, could you tell the audience what were you doing before you started Paprika?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, Uniqlo retail career began there. I then worked for an e-commerce company also based in Southeast Asia for a couple of years. I was running our private label business there. Around this time, I figured, you know, I wanted to get my MBA, felt like I lacked an education in kind of the business side of things. I moved to New York to do my B school at Columbia. It was a really eye-opening experience, right? Capital of retail. I was very, very active in the retail scene at school. And just learned so much about the industry from the industry leaders, so to speak. I think we were lucky to be in a school in the city because we could just drop into all these big headquarters and like hear your CEOs and whatnot give talks about things on their mind. And that's just such a lucky experience to have, I think. And that kind of shaped what I wanted to do from there. I joined Burger King's digital marketing team from there. I really wanted to work with something very fast-paced, and I didn't see the point of going back to traditional retail. Mm. And so that's how I found myself there. I spent the past 2 years there as the director of e-commerce, leading our e-commerce expansion. Wonderful experience, but found myself, you know, wondering how long I'm going to keep doing this thing, right? Because by now it had been 10 years of doing the things which I felt were right to get the right training and experience to do something on my own. It was always trying to bring that back. And so that's how I took the leap 3 months ago to start Paprika full time. I've been doing this since May, and I'm excited to tell you more about that too.
So that's May 2021, am I right?
That's right. Yeah, 3 months ago. Exactly. Yeah.
So could you tell the audience what is Paprika and why did you want to start something like this?
Yeah, absolutely. So Paprika, let me tell you how it started. So I was still in college, 20-year-old, just curious about the Indian retail space, mostly because I was interested in it, you know, nothing else. So I started writing and just doing some research about the industry. I couldn't really work in the industry because I was living in Singapore at that time. This is back in 2012. And I continued to keep that as a side gig for the past 10 years, right? It's kind of the thing that I do before I go to sleep and, you know, right after I wake up. I feel like that's typically a sign. It's what, yeah, it's what you really like to do. And so throughout my career growth, I think that was every time I was taking a pivot or taking a big decision, I would always ask myself, is this the time to try and do a break a full time? And so that time kind of came 3 months ago. But Paprika at the end of the day has been, I think it's grown into different phases. Today, it is a community of conscious consumers. That's what I like to say. You know, we talk about brands that put a conscious effort in their work, right? And there's no hard lines around this. That's the whole thing about this industry. Your conscious effort could be in the people you work with, in the products you build, or in the place you work in. It doesn't matter. These are brands that do something sustainable and conscious towards the way they exist and towards their beliefs. And so in the world of, you know, your H&Ms and Shein and all those guys thriving, Paprika is kind of this voice that talks about these other small brands that you need to know about, because they're just doing good work, right? Good work that is good for the long term. And it's hard to do, right? For themselves, for the consumer, for the planet. It's good all around, but it's not something that you immediately reap rewards in. And that's the thing that's always hard for a business owner to decide in, right? Like, do you try to make profits today, or do you try to do the thing that's right so that even 10 years later, you are a good business model? And so there's just a plethora of these brands, and Paprika has been talking about these brands since day one. They all happen to be women entrepreneurs as well, most of them at least, right? It's just, it's a magical amalgamation of things, I think. And I'm very, very proud to be kind of championing these brands and spreading their word, really, at the end of the day.
And what's also interesting, Dania, is that you mentioned that you always had this germ of an idea regarding Paprika, right? You were figuring out the right time to initiate the process and really start something like this. And you chose this year out of all years, out of all time. I mean,
I know,
amidst
right?
COVID and everything that's happening, when people are shutting shop, you were starting something like this. So what was that journey like?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Swati. I think if I had started in 2020, I might have been a little bit more scared. But I think 2021, it just felt like at least parts of the world, pockets of the world, were trying to already figure out how to deal with COVID, right? And the impact of that on economies. It's also given me a lot of insight into what kind of works in the post-COVID world. Because if you think about it, I was leading Burger King's e-commerce expansion for the past year, right? After COVID hit. And that really taught me what the post-COVID world of like growing online looks like, you know? And it gave me the confidence to think that an online first business actually has a better chance of surviving today than any other time that I could have ever started something like this. The other beautiful thing is, people started getting used to shopping from places they would never shop from before, right? Because they are all shopping online. People started getting used to waiting for something to arrive. Shipping times used to be 2 days, and now they're 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. People are fine waiting. All these things, kind of the market has just slightly changed itself in the nuances of the consumer expectation. And I think those all felt like ample opportunities to me. For me as well, you know, this is a slow brand. I keep saying that again, we are teaching you to be slow and hoping that you will be slow with us. We don't want you to come and shop 100 things from us. We want you to come and pick a few things that you love and cherish them for the rest of your life, right? Hopefully. That's what we are hoping to sell to you. And so for me to build such a brand slowly is completely fine. And I also felt like starting at this time will give me a good runway to take it in our own pace, to take it in the pace that the brands are fine. Because I actually wanted to launch in March, but I had to postpone it by 3 months because, you know, India was going through a tough period in April and May. Yeah. And so we said, okay, let's postpone the launch to June, because our brands are on the ground, our artisans on the ground, unable to kind of connect some of these dots together when you know, the climate is not so great. So in that sense, I feel like it's actually a good comeback period for us. And it's been great so far, great 2 months so far.
Yeah, yeah. And Dhanya, could you tell us more about these brands? Like,
yeah.
What's different about these brands? And also, where are they situated here in India itself? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I can go into great detail about these brands, but they're a bunch of lovely, lovely South Asian brands, right? And so we kind of curate only conscious brands, and we have a metric about, you know, how we go about that, and I'll talk about that in a second. But the first brand I want to tell you about is based in Punjab. It's actually a metal work brand. We make products from brass and copper, okay, that are all hand beaten. This is actually a very ancient art. They're called Thatteras. They're based in Punjab. They were always metal workers, and they always used hand tools to make the products. And so these guys, this kind of artwork and craft has been revived by a brand called Pital that we very closely partner with. And they retail on Paprika, so that's one of my favorites. We have another jewelry brand called Messiah that's based in Goa. They work with Dokra art based products. We have another brand called Hyde Studio that is a small leather artisan based studio in Madras, and they kind of work with responsibly sourced leather, and they hand make their kind of leather products, so handbags, you know, purses, wallets, what have you. A bunch of jewelry brands that are design studios. We're talking like PhD designers who really get into the art and science of, you know, the materials they use and the functionality of that. One of them is called Krita. Another brand is called Baka Jewelry. So, you know, it's just like I'm going across India, right? We have a brand in Kashmir that that makes silk pillow covers for us. These are all hand embroidered by a woman group that's based there. There's another brand that's based in Karnataka. This is also in the outskirts of Bangalore. They make banana fiber bags. They're literally like taking the you know, spoiled banana bark, drying that, making fiber out of that, twisting that fiber into a coir, and then making, literally weaving that into baskets and bags, the whole thing. They're called Kayere. And then the last one I want to tell you about is a palm weaving brand that's based in Tamil Nadu. They, again, very similar story. They take the palm leaves. It kind of comes only in one season every year. They take that from the tree, dry the whole thing, and weave that, dye it, and then weave that into baskets. And it's, what's beautiful is that you find that there's just so much art in all these communities, just traditionally, right? Like, this is how they survived. This is how they fended for themselves first. And turns out that can be commercialized, and they can actually make a living out of it. And I think it's a very wonderful kind of circle of life thing, right? That something that they created to kind of serve their own needs, but guess what? It can also be a product for the world, right? And that's kind of what we do. We take these products and we try to sell them in countries like US, Singapore, and Australia, where people haven't heard of these art a lot of time, but they love the product and they want a part of that story, right? To be in their living room. And I think that there's something very beautiful about the connection there.
And I think, Dhanya, I think I was reading about this on your platform as well. There are certain sustainability grouping principles that you have, right? Based on which you onboard these brands. Could you talk to us about what these principles are and how do you select a brand based on these metrics?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I'm supremely proud of, right? Because it's just I'm sure you know as a consumer that there's just so much greenwashing in the industry, right? Especially since like sustainability became a word people recognize. It's like, oh, this is sustainable, that's sustainable. Then you double click into it. Yeah. And you're like, well, but like, are you sure this is sustainable? They're like, yeah, it's kind of made of polythene, but okay, it is, right?
And it's like 5% reusable. It's like 5% huh. sustainable.
Oh my God, you know, I can go on for hours about this vegan leather and, you know, how it's paraded as a sustainable product. And it's just a disgrace, yeah, because as people who are leading this industry and as people who are supposed to be spreading awareness about the products, you know, you have a certain responsibility. Mm-hmm. That really led us to build this sustainability grounding principle. It's a very simple 10 metric system. What we did is like looked into the research of what are all principles that consumers care about, right? Like what are things they can relate to? Is something made of a natural material? Is it handmade? Did an artisan make it? Is it from a responsibly sourced product? Some customers care about whether it's vegan. Some customers care about whether it was handmade, right? Some people care about whether this is supporting women specifically. Mm-hmm. And so we came out with these metrics and we said, okay, these are our 10 metrics. There are some of them that we need all the products to have. So for example, we need all our products to touch artisans in some way. We need all our products to be natural materials. No question about that. They have to be natural. They cannot be plastic. But then we have a special one that I'm very, very, very fond of, which is the 100 wears metric, right? It is a guarantee that the brand provides to say that that product can withstand 100 washes and wears. If it's a home decor product, then, you know, it can be kept for a really long time, whatever that conversion is. And yeah. This is a big one, you know, why? Because a typical fast fashion item is worn 5 to 7 times in its entire lifetime and thrown. And what's sad is that to make that cotton t-shirt, you need 3,000 liters of water, right? No one talks about these numbers. You think about it, you spend 3,000 liters of water that's not really available, that's yeah. scanty today's world. You make a t-shirt out of it and you wear it 5 times and you throw it back into the landmine. And then it takes another 100 years to decompose because there's so much plastic also in that shirt. Right? Yeah. Like it's just a completely sad life cycle. And so then we said, okay, how can we give a guarantee on the product? Because oftentimes sustainable products are criticized for not being very long lasting. Right? People say, oh, this thing doesn't last very long. So what's yeah. the point of spending money on it, you know? And so that became a very important metric to us. The other side of it is also encouraging the customer to wear something that many times, right? Mm-hmm. Making it normal to wear the same nice shirt 100 times. What's wrong with that, right? Like, why do you need to be seen in something new every time? And so a very nice analogy that I like to call to is like dress like a French woman. It's a very stereotypical way to say it, or like your grandmother, right? Yeah. They both had about 10 great pieces in their wardrobes and they repeat it. They all yeah. look great on them all the time and they enjoy rewearing it. So do that, right? And that's something that like we really, really go out and encourage our customers to do.
And Dhanya, considering that you yourself are a marketer, right? How do you see the at least the consumer's behavior, especially on digital and online, changing based on what they used to perceive as brands earlier versus now? So earlier there was, you know, this retail, there were 10, 20, 30 accessible brands around you. And there was almost like this prestige wearing a brand which was, you know, quite popular right. within their own circle right. or, you know, their own yeah. community, to now moving into really much more individualistic metric on which brand I want to be associated with. Do you think yeah. this trend is already here right now, or there will, you know, it'll take some more time for people to be more aware about their own personal, say, choices and preferences, be it sustainability, be it something else, to really move to a phase where they wear brands, not just to show it off to other people in terms of labels, yeah. but yeah. they really wear brands that will make them feel good about themselves within their own community as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very important change in feeling in the customer that's coming up, because today, like, yeah, everyone still parades their Louis Vuitton bag if they got one, you know, like that's still that adulation for some brands is still there. But more and more women, especially your extremely educated, well-traveled, well-exposed woman who is in a tier one city, that woman is thinking more about what is comfortable and what she stands for, right? And I love to see that. I'm enjoying these independent women parading sustainable brands, right? Whether they shout out about the brand or not, they talk a lot about why they are wearing that particular piece. And that is a great enough shift for me, right? It's gone from, oh, I'm wearing a Zara top or I'm wearing some luxury brand top to I'm wearing this thing that was handmade in this part of this country.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful story in itself, right? And I think that shift is happening a lot because there's a recent BCG study that said that 75% of people actually think that sustainability is an important concept to them. Now, how much of their wardrobe reflects that? Not yet. We're still on the way.
Yeah.
But there is a very conscious mental shift towards at least being cognizant of the consumption, right? And so I think that needs to go to all levels of the cities, right? Because often the problem with sustainability is the price point. It is just unfortunately a higher price. But the way I say it is, instead of spending 500 rupees on a top and getting 10 of them, why don't you get two of them for like 1,000 rupees each, for example, right? And rewear them. And so that price concept, I think it'll take some while for it to go to all sections of affordability, right? Like all at the end of the day, someone needs to be able to afford to patronage, to provide patronage to something. And so I think we're still a few steps away from that. But I think the change is happening, to your point. A large change is happening for sure. People are less like big on their luxury bags today than they are about something that they're proud to own and they're proud to be associated with.
Yeah. And I mean, with the digital marketplace, you look at Instagram, there are so many homegrown labels coming out. It's absolutely, it's so awesome and it's so amazing to see these. I am witnessing that change.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you are, right? And I keep saying this, there are tens of thousands of marketplaces in India, but literally I can count in my hand the number that are sustainable marketplaces. And I think we need more and more of those because the number of sustainable brands are now outgrowing the number of sustainable marketplaces that are there. So I wish to see 1,000 more copies of Paprika in the world because that's the way we are going to make sure that everybody expands their network of access to sustainable products, right? And once it becomes the mass concept, then the price will also come down.
But then
suddenly we're all just making better clothes and paying our people better, right? Like that's what we want at the end of the day.
Yeah. Tell me something, Dhanya. I mean, this is something that at least crosses my head. But do you get asked a lot when you talk about sustainability? Do people doubt the safe fashion or the design aspect of that particular product? Because sometimes it feels like a trade-off, right? When you move to sustainability and when you see what other big brands are doing, they're usually, it feels like they're compromising on, say, a little bit of the design or the fashion aspect of it. Do you think it being a trade-off or do you think they can coexist?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Swati. I did a poll on my Instagram and I said, how many of you shop from Shein and please tell me why? And the top reason was trend. And they said, oh, they make such trendy things. I always feel like I'm wearing the latest styles. It is impossible for something sustainable to match up to that, right? It just doesn't live, like trend doesn't live its life. That's the problem of trend. It's out in a couple of months. And that's exactly why people are wearing their fast fashion items only 5 to 7 times. I think, unfortunately, yes, sustainability will not be trendy, but it doesn't have to not be fashionable, if that makes sense. Sustainable clothes can very well be fashionable. They can give you an ultimate sense of style. There are so many people I can point you to who are very, very big patrons of sustainable brands who are absolutely stylish, right? And you don't need to be wearing the latest like runway trend to be that person or to be individual, right? Like all you need is a little bit of thought and guidance into what you're pairing with what. And how you keep rewearing your pieces, right? And you can absolutely achieve that individuality. I think that's, to your point, also a big, big onus on brands like mine and people like me to create awareness about that, right? To say that, hey, there is this trade-off, yes, but here's how you can make up for it.
So tell me, Dhanya, I mean, I know it hasn't been that long since you launched, but how is Paprika's efforts impacting the artisan community in South Asia? Or how is it planning to impact the community?
I think, like I said, I think we have a long way to go, right? We're putting a small dent in the universe. We're very proud of our dent, but, you know, we have a long way to go. The artisan community in India is not new business, right? Like people... the craft-led economy has been the dominant economy of India for a long, long time. And whether it's a big brand or a small brand, you will see the element of craft in it, right? And the touch of the artisan in it. But I think today, what's increasingly important to uplift the community is to tell the right story to the right audience, right? And that's what we're focused on doing. One of the things we pride ourselves is, hey, how can we take the same product but show it to an audience who would have never had access to it otherwise. So I'm talking a white woman or a Black woman or a Latina woman who is living in San Francisco, LA, New York, to get access to these brands, right? And that's something we're very proud of doing. How about a woman who's sitting in London, or how about someone who's sitting in Melbourne? Like, we want those people also to know that this is the craft, this is how long it took somebody to do it, and this is how they did it, right? And I think there's something absolutely magical in that, because you not only increased the artisan's reach to something completely out of their normal zone, but you also educated a consumer on something from an entirely different part of the world, a different part of culture. And I think that's the kind of connections that we increasingly need to make. And today the world is so connected that it's so easy to make this connection, right? You just need to kind of have the right strategy, so to speak, to reach these audiences, but they are there. They are ready to spend that amount of money on these products. And it's great for the artisan, because that's the only way the skill is going to survive, right? And oftentimes I feel like the community goes into the threat of non-existence, because, you know, who is taking the skill over? Who is the next generation that's keeping the skill up? These are real questions that the craft community faces. But if there is a promise of an international lucrative market, then I don't see why somebody can't keep these industries up. And I strongly believe that it has to come from the consumer demand side and not from the supply side.
Dhanya, how are the consumers who have bought from Paprika, how are they responding to what they have received, and what is the early response you're seeing from consumers?
People have loved their product so far, right? You know, I love getting images from consumers of the product in their home, or them wearing something, or, you know, sending it to us. I think what they really connect to is also the story behind the product, and the fact that it came from a very special place or from a very special art. That part has been beautiful so far. So our store is live within India and also internationally. So we've seen almost a 50-50 split between orders from India and orders from international community. And that part has been great for us, right? Because we kind of get to match the product selection and the type of things people like from across. And I think as a business, we have a bunch of pivots left to figure out the right product mix for this audience we're targeting, and also figure out the right avenues for us to expand, right? Like, we're setting up a lot of offline channels here, and like events here that we can attend. We're actually going to New York Fashion Week in a month, which I'm so excited about.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's especially amazing because I'm taking like these five women-led brands to the fashion show, and we're kind of going to put a whole show together. And it's just amazing because it's a platform that like, we all just dreamed of, including me. And, you know, it's just, that's exactly the kind of access that I want to be able to get our artisan community through Paprika. And we need to do more of that. This is just the beginning.
Go check out Paprika and their awesome collection at www.paprika.store. For the Visionary listeners, Paprika is giving an exclusive 10% discount. Use code VN10 at the checkout and avail 10% discount that applies to all products in the store. So hurry up and go do some conscious shopping today. You'll find all the links in the episode description. Thanks for listening in, and please subscribe to the show to catch the next episode. You can follow us on Instagram to stay in touch and get all the updates. Our Instagram handle is vision.nari. That's VISION.NARI. If you know a visionary that I should feature on this podcast, write to me at thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. That's thevisionaripodcast@gmail.com. This podcast is produced by Launchora, a storytelling and creative learning platform. Theme music is created by Diala Swain. She's a uniquely talented music producer from New Zealand. Do check out her music on SoundCloud or follow the link in the description. I'll see you guys soon with a new visionary. Have a great day.